the stuff that's there in the book of Acts. The early church, and how that really in so many ways applies to you and I as well. This had no bearing on the fact that one of our own had a car accident this week, but I wanted to use an example here this morning of what happens. Well, have you ever been up to a stoplight? It's red. You're about 20 or 30 cars back, and it turns green. Now, it turns green, you should be able to go. But what happens is, that first car goes, and the second car goes. By the time it gets to you, 3 or 4 seconds have transpired, and then you go, and then you get up to the light, and it's turned red again. You think if everybody left at the same time, and you get through the light, right? Well, the same thing happens in reverse. If you've ever seen a lot of these chain reaction accidents, what typically happens, oftentimes happens, is two vehicles are in an accident. And the first one just behind them, I'm talking in an area where it's very congested, there's a lot of cars there. First one oftentimes avoids the accident, but then there's the one behind them and the one behind them, and what ends up happening over time is you have this chain reaction accident because of the response it takes to get to stop. And the first one sees it first, they stop. The next one doesn't see it until a little bit afterwards. And you have chain reaction accidents. Who's responsible, you might ask, for the accident? Well, I don't know, probably the two that started the whole thing. But my point is this. What we do affects those around us, doesn't it? At both ends of that example I gave you, what we do affects those around us. And there's no doubt as I read in the book of Acts here about the early church, what has happened previously is affecting what's going on presently in the church. And we read about it here, about the church in Antioch and elsewhere. Because in that very first verse, in fact, before I get there, let me do something else with this, just to kind of set the stage. We live in a world today where a lot of people have this live and let live mentality. You know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and just leave each other alone. I'll leave you alone, you leave me alone. Or, it's none of your business, you know, what I do. That kind of a thing. What I do really doesn't affect others, which is not really so true. Think about it. Texting while driving, or drinking, or parking in a handicapped spot when it's not yours to really have. It affects others, doesn't it, at some point? Shoplifting. Don't ever miss it. Well, you know what shoplifting does? It increases the prices of the products that you and I buy because they have to cover their losses. So it does affect others, doesn't it? It's amazing. Everything that we do in life, it does in some way affect others, even though we might want to live a live and let live kind of life. What we do affects those around us. Negatively sometimes. The flip side to that is sometimes positively. A good deed oftentimes leads to other good deeds. Living by example doesn't go unnoticed. Planting seeds, sometimes we don't see the plant grow, but we're planting the seeds. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says to cast your bread upon the water, for after many days you will find it. I love the beautiful imagery there. Casting your bread upon the waters. And you don't know who's going to be affected by that. The waters by the Nile, and that seed could be spread out somewhere 2 miles down the road and might take root and grow there. And we didn't even know it. It's the same kind of imagery that comes from planting the seed. You may not see it blossom. You may not see it come to full form, but plant the seeds. Plant the seeds. Plant the seeds. And when I look at the text here this morning, we're reminded of a seed that was planted a few chapters previous. Here it starts in verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen. You remember the story a few weeks ago? Several weeks ago now, when we read the story about Stephen, who was a martyr for the faith. Stephen, who was this normal guy who was waiting on tables because of what was going on at Pentecost, and he was speaking the word of God boldly, and it got him into so much trouble, he was killed, he was stoned. We have a really short story about Stephen, don't we? He waited on tables, He shared the faith of God to other people around him, and then not shortly thereafter he was dead. Very short ministry. Mine's been a little longer than Stephen's was. But what happened? There were some seeds planted back there earlier in Acts. Stephen may have never known what really was going to happen, but we read right here in chapter 11 that because of, indirectly, not just indirectly, because of what happened, of the persecution of Christians, and particularly Stephen, look how far the gospel of Jesus Christ has traveled since then. Wow. Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Later it says, Cyrene. You know, when I looked at the map of the Middle East and saw how many miles it was from Jerusalem to some of these places, I mean, it was 200 or 300 miles to places like Antioch. Cyprus was an island off the shore. They had to get there by boat to get to Cyprus. And when I looked at Cyrene, that was about 600 miles away. In a short period of time, look what was happening with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was traveling all over the place. And someone who was bold enough to share his faith, even though it was for a very, very short period of time, it had a direct impact on a lot of people. I want to share that with you this morning because I want you to understand your life has an impact in other people's lives. It could be a negative impact. It could be a positive impact. But your life and what you do does have an impact on other people. You can't have that live and let live mentality. Because we are connected in some very real kind of ways. Stephen's witness in death was giving life elsewhere. In those first three verses that we read this morning, we see that. It went a long way. The Lord's hand, it says in verse 21, was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? It's nice sometimes when we can see fruit before we die. It's nice sometimes when you can see the fruit of some of the labors before we die. And there are some who have labored and labored and labored and labored for years and years and years and years, and they don't think there's much fruit that's ever been accomplished from that. And after they die, maybe see some of that comes to fruition. Several years ago, I think it was just a couple years ago now, I was up in Pickford for a strawberry social at the Methodist Church up there, because that's where I grew up. I think it was at that, or it might have been a funeral, I'm not sure, but strawberry social sounds better. I went up for the strawberry social. I can't remember which event it was that I was there for. And I saw a Sunday school teacher from back. I hadn't seen them. They'd moved to California for, well, I'm 63 now, so 40-some years. They moved to California. They came back. They were there, and I was there too. And I looked up at my Sunday school teacher and said, "Hey, it's Dave Wallace." "Oh, yeah, I remember. You haven't changed at all." We changed quite a bit, by the way. And I said, "Thank you for being my Sunday school teacher and influencing my life." I don't know, but I know when I said that to him, he had a couple tears in his eyes. He always wondered, did being a Sunday school teacher have any effect on anybody's life? I did what I was supposed to do in the church, and I'm teaching these kids, and he says, even back then, he says, "I wasn't real knowledgeable of the Bible, but I did the best I possibly could with what little bit I had. And I taught kids, and you were one of them." I was a bit of a handful, but anyway, I was one of them. And he did. He and his wife had an influence on my life, and I told him that. But see, there's a seed that was planted 40-some years previous, and then 40 years later, he finds out there was a blossom there. And he knew that because he was connected to the family. He knew that that was the case, but I never came to him and said anything until then. Folks, we have opportunities to plant seeds. Stephen never knew how it blossomed. He was dead. But boy, he was in a great place, wasn't he? He was in a great place, wasn't he? To live as Christ, as Paul said, to die is gain. As we sometimes joke around with each other, it's a win-win. The worst case scenario is the best case scenario. Stephen. Because of his witness, there were many all over that area that were sharing the message of Jesus Christ. The extension of sharing to the Gentiles was happening more often than it had been previously. We're seeing it more and more as we go through Acts. It started out, it was pretty much just the Jews. And now the Gentiles were being told. These folks that came from Cyrene, they were talking to the Greeks about the message of Jesus Christ. And people all over were starting to come to Jesus from all over the place. And the church in Jerusalem, again, primarily made up, almost wholly made up, not completely, I don't think, but mostly made up of Jews, they're scratching their head, saying, wow, what is going on here? And in verses 22 through 24 in that text, the church in Jerusalem wanted confirmation of what was going on. Because you see, like we learned last week too, every time a new people group was introduced to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit came upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them in the same way in each case. I think it was God's way of telling them, I want you to know, I'm not excluding anyone from the kingdom of God who desires it. I want you to know that I'm not excluding any people group from the kingdom of God. And so I want to give witness in a powerful way to every people group that was introduced to Jesus Christ and to the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to know I'm with them just like I am with you. And the church in Jerusalem is starting to figure this out. So they sent Barnabas. And the evidence of changed lives was clear. And Barnabas told the people there, he says, what? He encouraged them, keep it up. Whatever you're doing, keep on doing it because it's a good thing. Now you can imagine though, and we're going to find out later on in the book of Acts, the Council of Jerusalem, they had to get together because they had certain things that you did in the church at a certain point in time, certain kind of rituals that you were to keep and laws you were supposed to keep, and there was Jewish festivals and all those things that you were supposed to keep, and perhaps you... The guy should be circumcised too. I mean, we want to keep all these rules in the church to make sure we're doing the right thing. And I think they were intent on doing the right thing. But it got to a point where they said, we don't want to burden the Gentile church with all of these rules that we have that may not have a moral nature to them at all. It's what the church, the early church, did. We don't want to burden them with all of that stuff. And we're going to get that to that in a little bit. But here, they're just glad that what's going on is the Word of God is going out and people are coming to Christ. And Barnabas was out there and he was saying, yep, it's true. What you're hearing is absolutely true. Perhaps an encouragement for us in the church today, put our energy in where it's best received. When you know that people are needing to hear a word from God, when you know that things are going on in such a way that people need to hear the Word of God, that's where you want to go and that's where you want to be. Some of you I know have experienced, we've done so with some of our mission trips over the past few years too. We haven't had one in quite a while, but when you go into an area where they've been affected by some kind of tragedy, a flooding or tornadoes or whatever the case might be. And these people are hurting. And some of them are questioning. And they're doing all those sort of things. But you go to a place like that and you realize a lot of these people, they're receptive to something. They want to hear a word. They want to hear some kind of hope, some kind of encouragement. And we should be encouraged as Christians to share that with people. You know, when people are going through tough times in the church and in the community, it's oftentimes a golden opportunity for us to share what God has done in our life as we've gone through difficult things. And to let them know He can do the same thing with you as well. Many people are receptive during times of crisis, during times of difficulty, to hear a word from God and our witness and our testimony. All over that area of the Middle East, the Word of God was spreading. And Barnabas was witnessing to all of that. And again, I go back to this happened in part because of what Stephen had done earlier. It just tells me something. that little thing that you and I might do to help out someone, to love them, to share faith with them. And we think, it really doesn't have any impact. We have no idea what kind of an impact it could have. Like a Sunday school teacher that teaches a bunch of ornery kids that probably aren't paying much attention at all, that they are having an impact on those kids. They may not realize it at the time, and they may never actually know whether they had an impact on any kids. It's just a blessing if they can be told. But they may never know. But they planted those seeds. Some of those seeds might grow into something beautiful. And it might impact the greater world all around them. I've said this before. Whoever it was that brought Billy Graham to faith in Christ has had as great an impact as Billy Graham did. And maybe he was the only one that came to Christ in the ministry. But look what Billy Graham did. Think about it. Just think about that. Folks, invest your life in the lives of others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And don't count numbers. Don't quantify it. God will do that. We're just called to share God's love with those we have contact with. And let God do the rest. Because of Stephen's persecution, many lives were touched elsewhere. The church was first called Christians in Antioch. A lot of Gentiles there. As I end the sermon this morning, I found it interesting that before the end of this chapter, something else came up. And it was this. Something's going to happen. During that time, there were some prophets that came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted a severe famine which spread over the entire Roman world. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Here's my point as I close. Wonder, was maybe Satan behind some of this famine thing? He sees what's going on in the church. I'm just imagining this. I don't know. God certainly is behind all this. He knows. He's in control. Did he want to do this to see if he could mess up what's going on with the church? And God said, yeah, go ahead and try it. I'm going to work in the midst of some real difficult stuff. Because that's what I do. That's what I do. God works in crisis, doesn't he? I think a lot of the greatest work that's ever done by God is in crisis. Some of the greatest life-changing that takes place in the world today is because of crisis. And as people, I think we are a world in crisis right now. And I think God is beginning to do some awesome things while we are in crisis. And you and I can keep planting seeds. Some of those will blossom. Some we may never see. But I hope that when I die, something I did affected someone who came to Christ, who affected someone else who came to Christ, who affected someone else who came to Christ. You want that too? Amen? Amen. Let's close with the last hymn, 369. O Jesus, I promise, would you stand with me as we sing this morning, also up on the screen. I want to encourage you as you leave this morning to keep on keeping on. Keep planting seeds. You know, if someone has planted a seed in your life, I encourage you to go to them if you're still alive. Just tell them. Because encouragement is good too. Because encouragement helps us to keep on keeping on. Not that we need that. And we don't do that because of that. We just do it because God did it for us. But if you know someone who has done that, let them know. Let them know. And they might be encouraged to go, hot diggity dog, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on serving. I'm going to keep on loving. And I'm going to keep on sharing because God is doing something. Because sometimes you think, God, are you doing anything? He is. He is. And I think in our country and in our world, He's going to do some more. Let's watch and be a part of it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.